why upon your first voyage on a passenger ship did you yourself feel such a mystical vibration when first told that you and your ship were now out of sight of land, Now, when I say that I'm in the habit of going to sea whenever I begin to grow hazy about the eyes, I do not mean to have it inferred that I ever go to sea as a passenger. No, for to go to sea as a passenger, you must needs have money. Besides, passengers get seasick, grow quarrelsome, don't sleep at nights. No, when I go to sea, I go as a simple sailor, right before the mast, aloft there to the royal masthead. Now, true, I get ordered about. Transition from schoolmaster to sailor is somewhat of a rough one, but even this wears off in time. I have the satisfaction of knowing that it is all right, that everybody else is one way or other served much the same way, and so the universal thump is passed around, and in this we should all be content. But wherefore it was that after having repeatedly smelt the sea as a merchant sailor, I should now take it into my head to go on a whaling voyage. The fates aligned and placed me into this position, inducing me to set about performing the part I did, besides cajoling me into the delusion that it was a choice resulting from my own unbiased free will and discriminating judgment. Chief among these motives was the overwhelming idea of the great whale himself. Such a portentous and mysterious monster roused all my curiosity. The undeliverable, nameless perils of the whale, and the marvels of a thousand Patagonian sights and sounds, helped to sway me to my wish. With other men, perhaps, such things would not have been inducements. But as for me, I am tormented with an everlasting itch for things remote. I stuffed a shirt or two into my old carpet bag, tucked it under my arm, and started for Cape Horn in the Pacific. Quitting the good city of Old Manhattan, I duly arrived in New Bedford. It was on a Saturday night in December. I was disappointed to learn that the ship for Nantucket had already sailed, and that no way of reaching that place would offer till the following Monday. With halting steps, I paced the streets and passed many inns which appeared too expensive and jolly for my constitution. Such dreary streets. Blocks of blackness, and here and there a candle or an inn. I turned the corner, looked up to read the hanging sign that called out in the night with a poverty-stricken creak. The Spouter Inn, Peter Coffin. Rather ominous of a name. It was a queer sort of place, a gable-ended old house standing up on a sharp, bleak corner. But no more of this blubbering now. We're going a whaling, and there's plenty of that yet to come. Let us scrape the ice from our frosted feet and see what sort of place this Spouter may be.
Evening. Oh,
good evening, I was wondering if you had any rooms open for the night.
The place is full. Oh. Bastard, if you haven't any objections to sharing a harpooner's blanket, then we can squeeze you in.
Well, I was hoping for a room of my own.
Haven't got none of those left. I suppose you're going a whaling, so you better get used to that sort of thing.
Well, I suppose it really matters who I'll be sharing the room with. Well, I'll take the room. I don't seem to have much of a choice. Have a decent man's blanket is better than none at all, I suppose.
I thought so. All right. Take a seat. I figure you'll be wanting some supper.
Yes, that would be splendid.
All right, man. Work your way into the supper table.
Landlord.
Yeah? What can I do for you?
Which one of these men is the harpooner that I'll be sharing the room with?
Well, he's not the one eating up the dumplings. He eats nothing but steaks. He likes them rare.
Devil he does. Where is he?
He'll be here before long. That's the Grampus crew. I seen her reported in the offing this morning. 3 years' voyage on a full ship. Oh, hurrah, boys! Now we'll have the latest news from the Fiji.
The mariners entered the Spouter, enveloped in their shaggy watchcoats, with their heads muffled in woolen comforters, all bedarned and ragged, and their beards stiff with icicles. This was the first inn that they entered, and they made a straight line for the whale's mouth bar. The liquor soon mounted into their heads. I observed, however, that one of them held somewhat aloof, and though he seemed desirous not to spoil the hilarity of the shipmates by his own sober face, yet upon the whole he refrained from making as much noise as the rest. This man interested me at once. He stood 6 feet in height, with noble shoulders. I've seldom seen such brawn in a man. His face was deeply